नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Low class people, due to their gross ignorance, introduce a system of religion that deviates from the Vedic principles. Following their own mental concoctions, they automatically fall down into the darkest regions of existence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this connection, one may see Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, where there is a description of the fall down, of the downfall of the Asuras, 16:16 and 16:23. Yashastra vidim utstrisya varatate kama kharatha nasasidhim avapnoti nasukham na param gatim. Aneka chitta vibranta moha jala samabrata Prashakt kama bhogeshu patanti narake sucho. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down into the most abominable type of existence. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. The man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination. He who discards spiritual injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed, and desire, then he never will be perfect in this life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word kama karata is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules and acts in lust, he knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore, he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence. And one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the stage, the real stage, of happiness. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6. Entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Text 11. Yesterday we heard from His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj a most eloquent explanation of the origin and development of the atheistic mentality. And how by not properly following even great personalities, it could not only lead us but so many people of the whole world into darkness. Mahajano yena katasapanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in his glorification of Sri Madhavendra Puri that even if one studies the Vedas very scrutinizingly, one will really not be able to fathom what is the conclusion. It is by following in the footsteps of the great souls in parampara who have understood and realized the essence that we could understand what is the truth. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. These three are the essential principles which determine what is truth. If we omit any of the three, we are bound to be misled. Today, so many gurus are there who discard the scriptures or do not give a proper explanation of the scripture. They give their own interpretation. Therefore, what we are hearing from is simply the speculations of a mortal man. Such so-called knowledge can never ever deliver us from the clutches of Maya. It does not matter how much mystic powers a man may have. The person may be tremendously eloquent in speaking, mesmerizing people with his presentation, charisma. None of those things can help us. Essentially, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat puranitam. There's only one real religion, the word spoken by God. And the Lord reveals his word in the holy scriptures. Therefore, if we disregard the scriptures or give the wrong interpretation of the scriptures, then it is simply material knowledge. In Kali Yuga, this is most prominent. Either people just disregard scriptures and give their own ideas, which make people feel emotionally so good, so nice words are spoken, just harmony and peace and balancing the universe and being your real self and love and ecstasy and peace. All these words attract people. And giving various techniques that really make you feel good, give you some nice mental experiences, some nice physical sensations, even make you feel very good about yourself and good about others. Yes, all these things can be attained through mental speculation, temporarily. But they cannot give one even the slightest entrance into the spiritual platform. At the most, they can bring you closer to the mode of goodness. So yes, in today's world, especially in the New Age religions, scriptures are considered to be impediments. Because there are so many rules and regulations that create an unnatural environment in life. After all, you should be able to be yourself. And that means what you feel you should do, as long as you're not causing pain or violence to others. If there is a God, God has put us on this world to enjoy. Otherwise, why there are so many objects to enjoy? One professor once told me that it's an offense to God to not enjoy sense gratification. To her, it was the mad elephant offense. Because God has created, he has provided, to reject his gifts is disrespect, blasphemy. So there are so many ideas, and attracting many, many millions and millions of people. Because the idea of tapasya is not very popular in modern day human society. Tapasya means to restrain one's mind, to restrain one's senses, to forbid oneself to do what is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, and to force oneself to do it, even if it is difficult and painful to do. Who wants to do that? Therefore, it's a very, very popular business to dress like a religious leader, to speak and move in such a way that you look very spiritually enlightened, and tell people that, you know, forget all these scriptures. They're just too restrictive. All of these rules and regulations are psychologically damaging to modern men and women. And then in the cloak of spirituality, you get essentially the same content within the package of materialism. Therefore, Krishna tells, evam parampara praptam. If you want to understand, first of all, you must receive knowledge through the scriptures. Prabhupada is quoting this verse from Sri Bhagavad Gita. Well, Krishna himself says, one, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Even if you have millions of followers, it still applies to you. But then, historically, we find so many people, especially in today's world, where they take scripture, but they utilize scripture according to their own idea. That was one of the very, very striking things that Prabhupada saw when he came to the West. Bhagavad Gita is a very popular book. Even back in 1960s, 1950s, Bhagavad Gita is very, very well read all over the world. The Prabhupada saw dozens and dozens of editions in Gita, but in each one the commentator was giving his own opinion, misleading the world. Prabhupada spoke very strongly. He said, if you want to give your opinion, then write your own book. You can mislead people, but at least do it with some honor. If you want to mislead people, at least do it with some honor. But don't take Krishna's words and misinterpret them. That is a great disgrace. Bhakto sime shaka cheti rahasyam hetat uttamam. Krishna tells in Gita, only one who is my devotee and friend can understand these words. So Prabhupada said, if you are not accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're not accepting the position of his eternal servant of a devotee, then don't speak from Gita. Prabhupada was very strong. He said, do not poke your nose in someone else's business. Bhagavad Gita is a book about devotion for devotees. Therefore, as it is, so essential, so important. And what happens to human society when there is all of this speculation, concoction, and hypocrisy? Immorality and materialism become rampant. That is what we find in the world today. just as people are misrepresenting Krishna, there are those who misrepresent Rishabhdev. If you want to be a follower of Rishabhdev, Prabhupada explains, understand his teachings to his sons. He's talking about devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's talking about giving up sense gratification, accepting a proper spiritual master, and surrendering one's life in a spirit of devotion. That's what it was all about. His eldest son, Bharat, he left everything at home at a proper time and just fixed his mind on the Supreme Lord. In fact, he came to a preliminary state of bhava, or ecstatic love of God. So that is the proper. But this tendency is there very strongly. To utilize the power of a great personality to justify our own, what Prabhupada says, whimsical nature. And we see it in every religion. There are people in the Islamic religion who are terrorizing and murdering people in the name of the Prophet Muhammad and the Lord Allah. And they're giving so many misconceptions. They take a few verses from the Holy Quran and then they give their commentaries, which appear very intelligent, but they utterly contradict the whole spirit of their book. And their teachings, such persons, breed hatred, envy, bodily consciousness, desire for sense gratification and power, all the qualities that are absolutely opposite the true nature of the soul are being developed and awakened by such misinterpretations and such miserable karma. Killing animals, killing humans, and justifying it, and feeling good about it, celebrating when thousands of innocent people are killed. And we have it in Christianity also. So many misconceptions. Catholic Church was the only church at one time. It broke up into the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, and then people rejected both of them and became Protestants. And now there's, in America, there's about 1,000 Protestant churches. And it's very rare to find even two of them that will agree that the others can go to heaven. Hare Krishna. They're all quoting the same book, the same Savior, but they're fighting. They hate each other. Hare Bol. And what's the result? Massive animal slaughter, massive abortions, massive drinking and intoxications, massive illicit sex, massive gambling, massive, massive sense gratification of every type of variety, wasting their lives just listening to crazy musics and watching ignorant presentations on the televisions and the cinemas. It's the Christian world. What does this have to do with Jesus, who said this world is a bridge, cross over it, but build nothing upon it? And coming and trying to convert people by simply giving them sense gratification, by increasing their sense gratification. If you're actually convincing a person about Christ's teachings, they're going to become more detached in their life. But we were promising a more sense gratification. What is this? And in the name of Lord Buddha, slaughtering animals, eating meat. One powerful Buddhist person was sitting on a plane next to one of our devotees. And the airline hostess said, veg or non-veg? Said, non-veg. It's a very prominent leader, Buddhist. So our devotee, very, very senior disciple of Prabhupada, he asked, if Buddha taught ahimsa, why are you eating non-veg? And he said, because I'm a monk. And monks, we accept whatever is given. We cannot discriminate. Whatever is given, we just take it. That is our detachment. So the person said, but this was not given. You had a choice. You specifically selected eating meat. It wasn't just given to you like a bhikkhu, madukari. It's not like that. You paid for the ticket and you ordered it. How can you say it was just given you, just a beggar, monk? So the person turned away and did not speak to our godbrother for the rest of the flight. Because there's no answer. And even Hinduism. Hinduism is theoretically based on the Vedic scriptures. But who knows what Hinduism is? The scholars, basically, they feel that Hinduism is, anything and everything that anyone wants to believe as long as they're born in India and it's based on some sort of any conception of the Vedas. Yes? Very confusing. We have the Shivites and the Vaishnavas have been fighting since time immemorial about various things. When Nityananda Prabhu went to Kanchipuram, there's Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. Two towns next to each other. Now, Shiva and Vishnu are best friends. Shiva is Vishnu who takes a particular role in this world, like milk becoming like yogurt. They are the simultaneously one and different. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Therefore, Shiva is declared to be the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Shiva loves Vishnu, and Vishnu loves Shiva. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vishnu when he was traveling through South India. He was going to every Shiva temple and offering honor and love and respect to Lord Shiva. At Rishab Hill, he even met Shiva and Parvati, who were dressed like Brahmins in disguise. And they spent many days talking with love. So yes, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu have the most intimate, loving relationship. So why is it the Shivites and the Vaishnavas are fighting? Nityananda Prabhu, he went there and he heard how they were blaspheming, criticizing and arguing. So what did he do? He laughed and went away. Just laughed and left that place. What ignorance. All egoistic bodily conceptions. In Bhagavad Gita, so many interpretations, so many misconceptions. Even Srimad Bhagavatam. At the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were many people who were giving eloquent speeches on the Srimad Bhagavatam, such as Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a brahmachari. He was very moral and ethical, extremely austere. He was so learned and so charismatic in his presentation that anyone who heard him speak from the Bhagavatam would be intellectually and emotionally mesmerized. They couldn't go away from his katha. It was just too powerful. It was too attractive. It was very, very popular. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him speaking, he ran to rip up his Srimad Bhagavatam. He considered it was just blasphemy to take the Bhagavatam and misinterpret it so grossly. No talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and eternal service. Bhakti is not given prominence. That's the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam. And even within our own ISKCON movement, people could take the words of Srila Prabhupada and try to utilize them for their own personal agenda, or to vent their own frustrations, or to interpret them in such a way according to their own conditioned nature, and create so many splinter ideas. We have seen, we have heard. Can take a letter, time, place, circumstance letter. Should I give one example? Bhavananda Prabhu was just here. He was telling me that he was in Mayapur. And they printed a nice little booklet about trying to invite people to come and live in Mayapur. And they quoted a letter from Srila Prabhupada to Bhavananda Prabhu. And it said in this letter that Prabhupada said that do you remember? Yes. Prabhupada said, you could leave everything else and just come and retire in Mayapur, and myself and the society will take care of you. Does that sound nice? So they're actually promoting that Prabhupada's saying, come and retire in Mayapur, and he and the society will take care of you. It was actually printed and distributed all over the world to try to get people to come and retire in Mayapur. The society will take care of you. How do you go? Sounds very nice. And they showed it to Bhavananda Prabhu. And he explained what was the background of the context of that letter. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
He was the president of Calcutta. And he and some other devotees were struggling so hard in that city of Calcutta. There's a lot of pollution, and there's a lot of passion, and there's a lot of miseries. And meanwhile, they had this nice land in Mayapur. So he actually wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada if they could close down permanently the Calcutta temple and all the devotees moved to Mayapur. And Prabhupada was absolutely against that idea. And angry, he wrote this sarcastic letter that, yes, you could retire and come to Mayapur and I will take care of you. Total sarcasm. Prabhupada chastised him.
But they're taking it as Prabhupada's instruction that we can retire to Mayapur and he will take care of us.
So in so many ways, you know, people can give their own conceptions of Prabhupada. Therefore, it is very, very important, as it is explained here, that if we want to follow the great souls, we have to really try understand the spirit. We have to have a comprehensive understanding, not only of what they speak, but the way they live. Even at the time when Lord Chaitanya was about to appear in Mayapur, so much atheism and materialism in the name of the holy scriptures. That's amazing. Because Navadvipa was the high seat of learning. And what did they learn from? They were studying scriptures. They were generally studying Vedas. But they were misinterpreting Vedas or going to various materialistic sectors of the Vedas and considering that this is the highest of all. And the conclusion? That these people hated devotees. They hated people who were actually trying to be humble and serve the Lord. Because if your idea of life is to become very proud, then a humble person is a threat to you. If humility is actually the way a saintly person should be, then if you're proud, you're exposed by that humility. Generally, very proud people really do not like people who act with humility. Because they know it's the right thing. And they know they're not doing it. And they don't want to be exposed. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement, so many people were criticizing the devotees. And the person they criticized the most was Srivas Pandit, whose appearance day it is today. So I will take this opportunity to speak something. Because he and his three brothers would perform Nam Sankirtan in his house sometimes all day and all night. And he became very, very close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya first came from Gaya in the role of a devotee, he exhibited ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And Srivas, Adwaita, Gadadhar, all of these devotees, they recognized that the symptoms of ecstasies being manifested by Lord Gauranga were unparalleled. The intensity of his love of God was like they had never seen before. But they had no hint that he was Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya was in so much ecstasies that sometimes he would just go into spells of being like a madman. And people were going to Sachi Devi and saying, you know, what's wrong with your son? What happened? Before he went to Gaya, he was so normal. Now, we don't know what happened to him on the way. And Sachi Macha would see, he would just be weeping and crying out for Krishna and separation from Krishna. Sometimes he would roar. And Sachi Mata was, she's just a simple mother. She never saw her son like this before. She would go to neighbors and say, can you tell me? Can you help me? What's happening to my son? And they would come and look at him. And these were learned people.
They were saying, it's obvious what son. You don't know what's wrong with your son. It's obvious. There is an imbalance of wind in his body. He has a wind disease. Imbalance of the life errors. Therefore, his mind is going mad. And they were giving different cures. He should put him in tubs of oil and soak him in those oils. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu could probably give us many detailed prescriptions of how to deal with wind disorders. And Sachimata was, she didn't know what to do. Whatever she tried, they were telling her to give this medicine, to give that medicine, and she was giving the medicines, and nothing worked. Put ghee on his head, she was putting ghee on his head. No, you have to put Shiva ghee on his head. She was getting Shiva ghee and putting it, nothing was working. So she was very much disturbed, because she believed everybody around that he had a wind disease. So she went to Srivas Pandit because she had complete faith. He was such a great Vaishnav with such integrity. She said, can you come and see my son? So Srivas came. And when he came into the courtyard of Lord Chaitanya's home, he circumambulated Tulsi Devi. And when Lord Chaitanya saw his devotee circumambulating Tulsi Devi, he went into ecstasy, and all of these symptoms of madness manifested in his body. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calmed down, and he said, Srivas, Srivas, tell me, am I mad? Am I suffering from wind disease? And Srivas said, it is a very good wind disease. I also am praying. I'm praying like anything that I can also catch such a wind disease. What I see on your body is the highest levels of ecstatic love for Krishna. I wish to have this type of disease. And Lord Chaitanya became very peaceful. He said, thank you very much, Srivas. Because if you would have said that I have a wind disorder, then I would have taken my life by jumping into the river Ganga. And then Srivas went to Sachimata and said, do you not see your son? He has the highest benediction of love for Krishna. These are symptoms of ecstasy. This is what we're all longing for. Do not ever discuss with ignorant materialistic people the situation of your son. Just be happy. So the devotees, they could see that Nimai had become the most ecstatic Vaishnav. But the idea that he could be Krishna did not manifest in their heart as of yet. Meanwhile, so much criticism of the devotees. They were blaspheming the devotees, but when Nimai Pandit became a Vaishnav and just really, really enthused the Vaishnavas with Nam Sankirtan, then the criticisms increased. And they were especially directed toward Srivas. The atheistic people and the caste Brahmin people who were proud of their position and had all misconceptions of the Vedas, they considered Srivas Thakur to be a great threat. And they would concoct so many horrible lies and propaganda against him. Sometimes they would say that this Srivas, but he's ruining all of Navadvip. He's causing such corruption. And he's endangering all of us. Just a useless beggar. just screaming all night the names of Krishna. He's renounced all philosophy. He's renounced all logic. He's renounced all scripture. He's renounced the dharma of mental speculation. And he's just screaming, screaming, screaming the names of Krishna. Why? Why would anyone just be screaming all night? It's because he wants to become famous as a great soul so people will give him money and give him food. But look at him. He doesn't even have food. Just screaming. And what will this screaming accomplish? It keeps us up all night. And then we cannot perform our duties during the daytime properly. He's ruining our lives. He's polluting the atmosphere. Paramatma's in the heart. You don't have to scream for him to hear. All you have to do is sit and silently just pray and he will hear you. What is this screaming, screaming, screaming? He's disturbing the Paramatma in the heart. And Lord Vishnu, now it's the rainy season, Lord Vishnu's sleeping. And the cloud screams, screams, screams. If he wakes up Vishnu, Vishnu will become so angry that he will destroy him and destroy his family, and he may even destroy the whole universe. Because of his loud screaming, he's displeasing the Lord so much that you wait and see, my brothers. Soon there will be a famine due to drought that will devastate all of us. And another blasphemer said, oh, you think that's bad? That may happen in the future, but do you know what's happening now? We're under the Muslim state. These moguls, they have outlawed any public performance of Hindu religion. And Srivas is screaming, screaming. It's already been reported to the king about this loud screaming of Hindu names of God. And the king has sent two boats with soldiers that are already crossing the Ganges, about to arrive in Navadweep to arrest Srivas. Not only that, they will arrest all these Vaishnavas. But because we're living in the same town, they may arrest all of us and plunder everything that we have and torture all of us because of him. And another person said, I told you long ago, but you did not listen. We should have just taken his entire house and cast it into the Ganges. Another person said, Srivas has no integrity. The soldiers are on their way with the king. They will come and Srivas and his brothers, they will run away and escape. And then we will be punished. So somebody said, well, let's catch him now. Let's go right up to his house now and apprehend him and tie him up and surrender him to the king to be punished and imprisoned. This is the way they were talking. And the fact was that the king's boats were coming to Navadweep. So all the Vaishnavas were being blasphemed and persecuted. And this brought fear and distress in the heart of Srivas Pandit. Not for himself, but for the other devotees. He didn't care what people think or say about him, because that's the way a Vaishnava is. Amanina manadena. This is the quality of a real devotee. We can test ourselves by this criteria. How much are we disturbed when we're misunderstood or even blasphemed? If it hurts, that means we have very little faith in Krishna. The real question is how much am I honoring and respecting others? That's what's important. It's not important what people say about us. What's important is what I say about others. It's not important how people are respecting me. What's all important is how I'm respecting others. That is Vaishnava's consciousness. It's not a matter of just shaving head and putting on neck beads and wearing dhotis or saris. It's a matter of consciousness. Vaishnava is a state of consciousness. Amanina manadena. Trinarapi suniche na taror ibasi hishnuna. Amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited this verse many times with great emphasis. And our acharyas go deeper and deeper and deeper into the content of what this verse means to us. To be humble like a blade of grass. What is the quality of grass? The special quality of grass is everyone stepping on it, on the head, right? Why did Lord Chaitanya use the word grass? Why didn't he say humble like the top of a mountain? Or humble like the bird in the sky. Birds are also humble. Blade of grass, specifically the quality of the grass is nobody cares about it and everyone steps on it and throws things on it. Yes? Humble like the grass. Tolerant like tree. Ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. This is Vaishnava. So this is how we have to concentrate our mind. Training means discipline. Discipline of the body and also of the mind. And what does discipline of the mind mean? Means we have to, with our intelligence, readjust the way we think. The conditioned nature of those who want to be enjoyers is we want to be respected and honored. And we become proud, and when we become proud, we dishonor others. We disrespect others. But the intellectual, or let us say, the practice of developing proper intelligence is even when we are disrespected, rather than just thinking, why is this happening to me? Our concentration, our meditation, our endeavor should be, how can I properly respect others? That's what God is caring about. Krishna doesn't care that I'm disturbed, that I'm upset. Krishna's concerned with how I'm respecting others. It's Krishna's business if he wants to punish someone for disrespecting me. But if I retaliate in the wrong way, I'll be punished. If we want to make proper spiritual advancement, we should be more concerned with how we are offering respect and honor to others than what they're saying to us. It's very difficult, is it not? Because the ego is in such a festering, diseased condition. Even though we know it's true, it's still very difficult. But there's no alternative. You have to strive to follow this principle if you want to really get the true benefits of chanting the holy name. So Srivas was not afraid that he may be put in jail or tortured or plundered. He was not disturbed that people were blaspheming him, but he was very much disturbed about the other Vaishnavas. Their health was at risk. Their position was at risk. Their safety was at risk. And they were being blasphemed. So Srivas was very disturbed. So he would lock his door and worship Lord Narasimhadev to protect the devotees. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking down the street. Actually, he was walking along the banks of the Ganges. And he heard all these blasphemous people saying all crazy things. They were even saying it to him. It very much saddened his heart. And they were saying, look at this Nimai. Look at this Nimai. He's become mad. He's become crazy. He's just chanting. And look, even though the king's coming with his boats to punish all of them, he looks like he's completely detached, just walking, looking detached. Just see. We know. It's a plot. He's actually very disturbed, but he's pretending to be detached because he's plotting to escape. So all of us get in trouble, and he doesn't get in trouble. They were saying this to Lord Chaitanya, about him. So he just walked, disregarded what they spoke. And as he was along the bank of Ganga, he happened to see some beautiful cows. There were some young cows who were playing. They were jumping up and down and jumping up and down and bumping against each other. Their tails were raised, they were running to and fro in all directions, and there was other cows that were laying down and chewing the grass. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all these cows, he became so ecstatic, he forgot himself. He forgot that he was in the role of a devotee, and he entered into the mode of Krishna. And he started crying out with a very tumultuous roar, I am he! I am he! And then he ran right to Srivas Thakur's house and went right to Srivas Thakur's temple room that was locked where he was worshipping Narasimhadev. And Lord Chaitanya kicked again and again until the door broke open. And he stood there before Srivas and said, I am he! I am he! I am the one that you worship. I am the one who you constantly call upon by chanting my holy names. And Srivas looked back, and to his great amazement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting his supreme form of Vaikuntha. He said, why do you fear, Srivas? I have come. You have called me through your loud, loud chanting of the holy names, and I have descended for you. Now offer prayers. And Srivas Thakur offered beautiful prayers. Oh, my Lord Vishwambar, you are the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. But in reality, I understand who you really are now. You are that supreme enjoyer of the Vrindavan forests. Your complexion is dark like the tamal tree. Your eyes are like blooming lotus flowers. You have beautiful curling hair that surrounds your illuminated moon-like face. Your lips are so sweet and red. They seem to be reflecting the beams of the moon. And you have a wonderful, wonderful wild forest flower that extends below your knees. And you are playing your flute standing in your twofold, threefold bending form. And you are eternally worshipped by all of the gopas and all of the gopis. Brahma and Shiva are longing and performing great tapasya just to get a speck of dust from your lotus feet. You have a wonderful, wonderful cloth that is bright like lightning that is decorating your waist. And you have a peacock feather that is adorning your beautiful hair. You have the gunja mala that is hanging from your neck. And you are most merciful and loving to all of your devotees. I have wasted my life. I have not understood who you are. In my ignorance, I had fear in my heart. But now all of my fear is gone. My body, my mind, my home, my family members, and all of my ancestors have all culminated in attaining the ultimate perfection because you have come to my home to give your darshan. I worship you, O Nimai, who have descended to Navadvip to chant, to spread the glories of your own holy name. And in this incredible Vaikuntha form, Nimai called out, Srivas, you are my dear devotee. Have no fear. What will the king do to you? When I am here, there is nothing to fear from any devotee. When those two boats come to Navadvip, if I do not give the king the power to arrest you, he has no power to do so. But even if he tries, I will go on the boat first, and I will reveal my opulences before the king, and I will drag him off his throne, and I will sit on his throne, and then see what he will do. But even then, if he tries to do something, he said, I will tell the king that bring all of your spiritual leaders and all of your judges. Bring them to the courtyard and then get the elephants, the horses, the birds, and the other wild and domestic animals. Bring them into your courtyard. And I challenge, have your qazis and have your judges read from your scriptures to put these animals in devotional, ecstatic love of God. And they will do it. And they will read from their scriptures, and nothing will happen to the animals. And then I will go into the jungle, and I will grab an elephant by the tail, and I will drag him there. And I will bring all the horses, and all the birds, and all the lizards, and all the other animals. And I will induce them to all chant the holy names. And from all of these animal species, torrents of tears will pour from their eyes. Their hairs will stand on end. They will be screaming, Hari, Hari. They will be rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And not only that, seeing this and hearing the holy name of Krishna, the king and all the qazis and all the judges will fall from their thrones and high seats, weeping in ecstasy, rolling on the ground, chanting the holy names. And if you do not believe me, Srivas, you watch and see what I do. Srivas's niece, Narayani, only 4 years old, was just sitting quietly in the corner. Lord Chaitanya said, Narayani, chant the names of Krishna and weep in ecstatic love. Narayani just cried out, Krishna, 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 and just fell to the ground, torrents of tears. It was superhuman. You see babies crying. It wasn't like that. There were
rivers of tears pouring from her eyes. Ecstatic symptoms were decorating her body. And she just was crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. She had attained the ultimate perfection of Krishna Prem. Anandam Buddhivaradhanam.
And when the devotees saw that, they were struck, Srivas was struck with wonder. And from that day, Narayani, even to this day, is celebrated and worshipped as the dear recipient of Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy.
Then Sri Chaitanya told Srivas Thakur, bring your family members, your friends, your servants and your maidservants,
and all of their relatives, and I will bestow upon them the perfection of seeing my darshan.
So Srivas Thakur very, very blissfully went and brought his friends, his family members, his relatives, and all his servants and maidservants. They all came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was manifesting his form of Narayan, of Vaikuntha.
And they were all bowing down to him. And Lord Chaitanya was, to each and every one of them, was placing his lotus feet on top of their heads, giving them the supreme perfection of life.
Everyone in Srivas Thakur's household was given ecstatic love of Krishna.
And when Srivas Thakur saw this, he was dancing in ecstasy.
He said, my Lord, I have no fear. I have no fear anymore. Lord Chaitanya said, do you still fear anything? He said, I have no fear even when you appear within this world as ultimate devastation. When the whole cosmic manifestation is being destroyed, I will fearlessly, blissfully welcome you by loudly chanting your holy names.
Lord Chaitanya gave such mercy even to the common associates and servants of Srivas, because he wanted to teach the world a very, very crucial lesson that Krishna loves those who are dear to the Vaishnavas. Krishna's special mercy is always upon those who serve the Vaishnavas.
What was the qualification of the servants and maidservants of Srivas's house?
Simply that they served Srivas and they were dear to him. They had no other qualification.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Srivas's house performing Sankirtan,
the maidservant Duki, she would just go to the Ganga and bring water. And go to the Ganga and bring more pots of water. Such a menial service. But Lord Chaitanya saw her performing this menial service to assist Srivas. So he said to Srivas, who is this lady who is bringing the water every day like this? And Lord Chaitanya said, it is a maidservant named Duki. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this name Duki does not sit properly in my heart. From this day, I declare that she will be called Suki.
And with giving her the name Suki, he relieved all of her distress forever and gave her ecstatic spiritual happiness. And from that day, all the devotees called her Suki. And Srivas Thakur never again treated her like a maidservant, but honored her as an exalted Vaishnavi who had received the mercy of the Lord.
Yes, to become dear to a Vaishnav, to serve a Vaishnav. is the greatest fortune. Why? Because it attracts the mercy of Krishna, the causeless mercy of Krishna. Seeing that Srivas Thakur was becoming quite popular, should I continue? There was a very learned Brahmin named Gopal Chapala. And he was so envious of Srivas Thakur. Why was he envious? Because Srivas was gaining popularity. And he had a different conception of what religion was. And to the degree Srivas and the Vaishnavas were getting influence in Navadvip, to that degree, these materialistic, proud caste Brahmins was losing their credibility and their respectability. So he was a challenge. So Gopal Chapala actually hated Srivas Thakur. And he wanted to destroy his reputation. So one night, he scattered the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga according to tantric rites in the mode of ignorance in the front of Srivasa's house. There was wine and blood and vermilion and all of these other ingredients, very specifically for the purpose of doing tantric rites in the middle of, and these tantric rites were only to be performed in the middle of the night. So the next morning, people came and saw. And Srivas Thakur came out of his house and he saw people gathered around looking. What are you doing at night? Srivas, so humble. He said, actually, now you know what I do at night. I do tantric rites to worship Goddess Durga. He didn't defend himself. But nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. Everybody cleaned it up and washed it all with cow dung to make it fresh and pure. Meanwhile, Gopal Chapala, due to this offense against a great Vaishnav, contracted leprosy. This is very important to understand. When we try to hurt a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, it will come back on us. Definitely. Even if you're successful and hurt the person, the reaction's going to come on you. And you're going to suffer hundreds of times more. Narottam Das Thakur explains, if you offend the Lord, you could rectify that offense by chanting the holy names. But if you offend a Vaishnav, there's nothing that can save you except falling at the feet and getting the forgiveness of that Vaishnav. So many examples. Durvas Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. Durvas Muni went all the way to Vaikuntha and surrendered to Vishnu. He said, there's nothing I can do. You offended my devotee. It's very bad. So Gopal Chapala, who was so very proud of his beautiful bodily features, became a leper. His nose fell off, his fingers fell off, his toes fell off, his whole body became just contaminating with diseased substances, deformed, suffering miserable pain. Gopal Chapala was quite proud, aristocratic, and popular amongst the circles of Navadvip. Now he was exiled. He wasn't allowed to live with any people because it was a contagious disease. So he was just sitting all alone, laying in the sand on the bank of the Ganges outside of the town, suffering.
And one day, Nimai came walking along and passed Gopal Chappal. And Gopal Chappal fell at his feet, crying in pain and suffering, really taking shelter, saying, "Please, Vishwambar, please, please, rescue me, save me. I'm suffering. I surrender to you. I surrender. Please save me." And Lord Chaitanya spoke with great anger and said, "Because you have offended my devotee, Srivas, therefore, you will suffer this same disease miserably for the next 10 million births." And then Mahaprabhu turned his back and walked away. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So he suffered for years in that state. But in his suffering, he became humble. It took some time, but he actually, his heart became very humble, and he realized and he repented for his offense to a devotee. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Kuliagram after taking sannyas, he was giving benedictions of forgiveness to so many blasphemers who came with humble hearts. And Gopal Chappala came before him, and Lord Chaitanya said, "I cannot forgive you. Only when you honestly and sincerely humble yourself before Srivas Thakur can you be forgiven." So he went to Srivas. And he fell at Srivas's feet. And Srivas, he loved this person. He was praying for this person. And he very happily just bestowed all affection upon him. Now from Srivas' side, he was favorable and the well-wisher even of his blasphemous enemy. But it wasn't until Krishna in his heart saw that he honestly, with humility, begged forgiveness for his offense, Krishna relieved him. He came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu not only cured his leprosy, but gave him ecstatic love of God and a taste for chanting the holy names. Srivas Thakur's devotion conquered Lord Chaitanya's heart. The most illustrious story that we hear is when Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya was performing Nam Sankirtan in the house of Srivas. And at the very beginning of the night, very early, inside the house, there was loud crying, wailing sounds. Mahaprabhu and his devotees were dancing ecstatically in the courtyard. Srivas Thakur ran into the inside rooms to find out what's happening. And what did he find? His son had died of a fever and a disease. And all the ladies, seeing the death of Srivas's son, were weeping and crying. Srivas was very sober and composed. And he spoke to the ladies. He said, "All of you know, with your intelligence, what is the truth. Why are you crying?" One who quits his body in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his holy name is most fortunate. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He is dancing within our own house.
And along with all of his associates, they are loudly, blissfully chanting the holy names. Our son has died in this atmosphere. Therefore, surely he has gone back to the spiritual world. He has attained the perfection of life. I only wish that I could die in such an auspicious circumstance as this. Please give up your sorrow. And if you are unable to do so, then do it silently. Because if your crying disturbs Lord Chaitanya's happiness in dancing in my home, then on this very day, I will drown myself in the Ganga.
Hearing these words, the ladies subdued their emotions somehow or other. And Srivas went back into the courtyard.
And when he saw Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees so happily singing and dancing, Srivas Thakur, just with a beautiful smile on his face, was dancing and dancing and dancing in jubilation all night long. Toward the end of the night, Lord Chaitanya could sense that there was sorrow in the house. So he stopped the kirtan and spoke. He said, I am feeling that there is some unhappiness in the house of Srivas. Can anyone tell me what this is? And Srivas Thakur, with a beaming smile, he replied to Lord Chaitanya's question. He said, my Lord, with you dancing in my house, everything is all auspicious. There can only be joy. That's all he said. And then another devotee said, actually, my Lord, during the kirtan, Srivas' son died. Lord Chaitanya was astonished. He said, he died? When? When did he die? A devotee said, it was about 7.5 hours ago. But Srivas didn't want to tell you, because he was afraid it would disturb your happiness. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, the supreme, all-powerful personality of Godhead broke down on the floor and uncontrollably wept. Tears pouring from his eyes, his voice choked up. He simply cried and cried and cried in love for Srivas. And then with a faltering voice, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his heart. He said, Srivas, how you love me. How much you love me. That even the death of your own son did not disturb you just to give me happiness. How? How will it be possible for me to tolerate giving up the association of such a loving devotee as you, Srivas? When he said this, the devotees, they became very concerned. They were worried. Why is Lord Chaitanya saying this? Why is he talking about tolerating leaving Srivas? They were speculating, but they could not understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already planning to take sannyas and leave Navadvip. And he was thinking in his own heart, how will I tolerate leaving the association of such a loving, intimate, humble devotee as Srivas, who for my sake, to give me happiness, is willing to tolerate even the death of his own son. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised Srivas with such deep love and affection. He said, Srivas, Nityananda Prabhu and myself, we will always remain as your sons. And then Lord Chaitanya, after putting everyone in transcendental happiness, he said, bring me to your son. And Srivas Thakur took Lord Chaitanya into the inner chambers of the home where the ladies were gathered around the dead corpse of his son. And to everyone's great amazement, Lord Chaitanya gave an instruction to the dead body. He said, why have you left the home of your father, Srivas? And to further everyone's astonishment, the son rose from the dead. He sat up and with a very grave, sincere voice, replied to Lord Chaitanya's question. My dear Lord, he said, by your mercy, by your arrangement, I have been allowed to live in the house of my father and mother for all of these years. But now, according to my destiny, it is time for me to leave this place. I beg you, my Lord, wherever you may send me, please grant me the benediction that I may never forget you. I have happily spent this time in the house of my father, but now by your will, you may send me wherever you feel I shall go. And then this child laid down and became lifeless. When all of the relatives heard this child speaking transcendental knowledge, they realized that he had gone back home, back to Godhead. And they all became ecstatic. Everyone was falling at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begging for his mercy. All of the relatives, all of the friends, all of the servants, the maidservants, Srivas's brothers, they were all falling at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet in ecstatic happiness, crying, my Lord, you are our father, you are our mother, you are our friend, you are our son, you are our everything. Please, we're begging you, wherever we may go, in any species, even as a bird, we don't care, but let us never, ever, ever forget you. Let us always remember you. Let us always chant your holy names. Then in great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had everyone perform Harinam Sankirtan. In ecstatic love, they were dancing and chanting in Srivasangam. And then Lord Chaitanya was informed that it was time for the last rites. So they had Sankirtan procession to the Ganga, where they performed the last rites to the child. Then they all bathed and came back to Srivas Thakur's house to continue the Sankirtan of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And one who hears this story with faith will very soon meet Sri Chaitanya and his associates. By hearing this story, we can cross the ocean of birth and death. By hearing this story with faith, all the sorrows and anxiety of this world can be destroyed. The darkness of ignorance will be dispelled by the illuminating light of Lord Chaitanya's love for all living beings, even the most fallen. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Srivas Thakur and his brothers could not tolerate living in Navadvip and seeing the places but not the Lord. So they moved to Kumarahatta. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returning from his journey to Vrindavan, he stopped in Kumarahatta. There he visited the birthplace of Ishwarapuri and collected the dust and ate that dust and kept that dust in a little package and kept it with him always, that the dirt of Kumarahatta, it is like nectar. It is my wealth. It is my very life and soul, because it is in this place that my Gurudev, Ishwarapuri, appeared in this world. He also went to the house of Srivas. And so many devotees, Shivananda Sen, Vasudev Datta, they all came and they met Lord Chaitanya in Srivas Thakur's home in Kumarahatta. Lord Chaitanya was praising all the Vaishnavas with so much affection and appreciation. It was there that he proclaimed for all the world to know that Vasudev Dutt, I am his property. I am simply Vasudev Dutt's man. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. Please know it clearly. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. Then he turned to Srivas and said, Srivas, I've been staying with you for some days. I see you're not even going out and working. You're just doing your Nam Kirtan and you're studying a Bhagavatam recitation. How do you maintain? You have a large family, so many brothers, everyone is here. How do you maintain your family? Please tell me. After all, you have responsibility. How do you maintain your family? You don't go anywhere. You're just Bhagavat and Nam Sankirtan. Tell me. Srivas replied, 1, 2, 3. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is this? What is this 1, 2, 3? I want to know, if you don't go out and have some employment, how do you maintain your family? I don't even see that you go out to beg. What to speak of work? You don't even beg. How are you maintaining your family? Srivas replied, 1, 2, 3. Mahaprabhu asked, what is this 1, 2, 3? Clapping. And Srivas said, if I clap my hand 3 times and I don't, and I, and Krishna does not provide me whatever I need to survive with my family, then I will take a rope, tie it to a clay pot, wrap it around my neck, and drown myself in the Ganges. If he does not provide for me in the time that it takes to clap 3 times when I'm surrendering to him, then I will end my life. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he became ecstatic. He roared in ecstasy. He said, Srivas! Srivas, you have won my heart. You have conquered my life. You have so much faith in Krishna. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nityabhayuktanam yoga kshemam vaham taham. You have understood, Srivas, that if one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna will provide whatever you need and preserve whatever you have. You have this faith because you have such faith. I proclaim this, even if there is so much of a drought and poverty all over the universe that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, has to take up a begging bowl and beg, you will always have everything you need provided because of your faith. That is surrender. And the devotees, hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appreciation for Srivas Thakur's total surrender, dependence on Krishna, they became blissful and performed the Sankirtan of the holy name. Yes, Srivas Thakur was a preacher, not an ordinary preacher. He was Narada Muni incarnate. What is Narada Muni's? Narada Muni bhajaivi naradhika ramana name. He's going everywhere just chanting the Hari Nam. To Prahlad, to Dhruva, to the Prachetas. Everywhere he's going, preaching the glories of Krishna. That was Srivas's mood. He prayed and longed for the Lord to descend to deliver the fallen souls. And therefore, he was life and soul of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Panchatattva, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Srivas Thakur is one of the features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, representing the pure unalloyed devotee. And therefore we worship Srivas with all of our hearts by chanting this Panchatattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Today is also the disappearance day of His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, who really, it very wonderful symbolism that he departed from this world on the appearance day of Srivas Pandit, in the hometown of Srivas Pandit, Sri Mayapur Dham. He took this spirit of complete faith, dedication to Srila Prabhupada as his life and soul. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj was very much embodiment of total loyalty, faithfulness, and dedication to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And he had very intimate, loving association with Srila Prabhupada in very early years of this movement developing in India. And he saw Prabhupada's tireless preaching spirit. Prabhupada came from Goloka to preach. Just sitting in Vrindavan doing bhajan, he could be doing that in Goloka, doing seva for Radha and Krishna in his eternal form. But the Lord desired that he come to this earth to preach. And it was his Gurudev's order that he preach. Not preaching with some egoistic conception, but giving the highest, purest truth without compromise, and giving his life and soul in a spirit of compassion. This is the mood of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. So Sridhar Swami Maharaj saw that spirit of Prabhupada, and he gave his life to serving that spirit. To serving ISKCON as a mission, to serving the Vaishnavas in ISKCON, and to do everything and anything within his power of intelligence and abilities just to help the devotees to spread the glories of the holy names. And he was very, very fond of all of you devotees here in Radha Gopinath Temple. He would come here just very spontaneously. He would just, no announcements. He would just walk into Radha Krishna Prabhu's house and say, please give me prasad. He's come to my room any time and say, Maharaj, what are you doing? He very much loved all of our devotees. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya was very, very dear to Sridhar Maharaj's heart. Dwarkadish Prabhu, Madhavananda Prabhu, all the devotees, Giriraj Prabhu, the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Vishwarup Prabhu, in his very, very chronic terminal disease, he allowed the devotees to have very intimate association with him. And so much he appreciated and was grateful for anything anyone would ever do to assist him. That was his nature. So it was on this day in the holy abode of Mayapur Dham, and Radha Gopinath devotee brahmacharis were gathered around him chanting the holy name when he departed from this world in a most glorious way to return to Srila Prabhupada's loving service in the service of the Panchatattva. So let us offer our deep gratitude and prayers at the lotus feet of Sridhar Swami Maharaj today. And this evening, 5 o'clock, the festival begins. Yes? Abhishekam starts at 5:30. Abhishekam, 5:30, for the installation of Sri Lalita Devi and Vishakha Sakhi. They're still resting in the next room. They will be woken up at 4 o'clock. And please do come for this very glorious historical festival. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki go premanandi. Let us welcome His Grace Udayananda Prabhu back to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. When he says Hari Bol, it is 10 times louder than all of you put together. Let us wholeheartedly reciprocate. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. At 12 o'clock, we're going to be planting 2 tamal trees in Vrindavan Forest. In the Vrindavan forest, it is considered most auspicious when kadamba tree and tamal tree are growing beside each other. Because kadamba tree represents Srimati Radharani and tamal tree represents Shamsundar. The tamal tree is Radharani's favorite tree because its dark bark resembles the beautiful complexion of Sri Krishna. Sometimes she sees tamal tree and embraces it in ecstatic love, thinking that she's embracing the body of Krishna. And when Krishna sees the beautiful golden flowers of a kadamba tree, he goes mad in ecstatic love for Srimati Radharani because it resembles her golden complexion. Kadamba tree is Krishna's favorite tree. Tamal tree, Sri Radha's favorite tree. When His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami Maharaj was here during the Cross Maidan festival, he saw tamal trees in the garden and kadamba trees in another garden, and he said, if they're standing next to each other, that represents Radha Krishna, and it's considered most auspicious in Vrindavan. So when great souls speak, we should take them very seriously. So on this day, to prepare this wonderful temple to be most auspicious for the coming of Lalita and Vishakha, their two supreme, most loving lordships, Radha and Krishna, Radha Gopinath, we will install Prana Pratishtha. We will install, actually they're self-manifesting. We will install tamal trees just besides the existing kadamba trees to make everything more wonderfully pleasing to the hearts of the devotees to remember Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And even in this dark, perilous city of Bombay, to feel the presence of Vrindavan Forest. So that will be at 12 o'clock. And Janani Vas Prabhu will preside over the planting of tamal trees. And just about this time, there will be a fire yagya to inaugurate Govinda's restaurant. And all the counselors will be given prasad in the restaurant at about 1 o'clock because it's not enough space for everyone. But they will, all the counselors will take the prasad on behalf of all their counselors. And there will be a nice festival there also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.